Hello, everybody. This is Chuck Hammett broadcasting live from the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group. The show is content that moves the needle, and my guest today is Mary Patch, the managing partner of Patch Retirement Plan Services. Mary, hello. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you today, Chuck?
I'm doing great. For the folks that may not know you, could you give us a little bit of background on who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. I have been in the industry, the 401k industry, for about 20. I'm going into my 28th year. I've grown up in the industry, starting on the record keeping side to advisory, consulting, whatever a client is actually looking for services. I also chair the Investment Plan Consultant magazine at this time.
Outstanding. So, Mary, my mother taught me when I was young never to ask a woman her age. So, you know, you giving away that you've been in this business for 28 years, I don't know how anybody starts when they're one. So you are definitely ahead of the curve. So you and I, just for full disclosure, Mary and I have known each other for a long time, and we have conversations on occasion. And one of my big sort of pushes for this year is to talk to advisors about not just the importance of benchmarking, but using benchmarking as leverage for clients that are not currently in your practice. So, Mary, you know, in your opinion, not just on the plan consultancy side, but also from an advisor's point of view, why do you think benchmarking is important?
Well, first off, it sets a tone for a client meeting their fiduciary responsibilities. They are required to ensure fees are reasonable. So without doing some sort of benchmarking, there's no way for them to actually put something in their file that says that they've met their responsibilities to ensure their fees are always reasonable. It also gives them an opportunity to negotiate fee structures with their current provider, even if they don't want to leave who they're working with already. And also might open their eyes to some other alternative solutions that are in the marketplace.
So, Mary, I talk to a wide range of advisors, some with small practices, some with medium size, some with gigantic. Is there a minimum size or maybe even a minimum frequency when benchmarking should be done? By that, I mean, do you really have to worry about the $800,000 plan being benchmarked if it's in your practice versus the $18 million plan? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think that a fiduciary, their fiduciary's responsibility shifts at all, no matter what the size of the plan is. I think it's important for every plan sponsor to be evaluating their plan and evaluating the fees, the, you know, how the plan is actually performing, how it compares to its peer group, and things of that nature. So, no, there really isn't a minimum size. I believe everybody should be taking advantage of it.
So my next question, Mary, is, you know, I talk to a lot of advisors, and some of them, they don't necessarily think that retirement plans are nearly as work-intensive as, say, the wealth management business. A lot of them operate under the, let's just say, the easy button, Staples, you know, not them, but a different easy button, the set it and forget it mentality with their plans. Is that what advisors should be doing?
No, that's actually the opposite. What we're seeing is a big trend in the advisor space of other advisors coming in and doing or offering a complimentary evaluation or a paid evaluation of a client's retirement plan as a means to take over that business. So with that in mind, if an advisor wanted to ensure the safety of their book of business, they probably should be adding this into their traditional everyday service model for their plans.
So, Mary, my next question is, and this is not something that we've discussed in the past, in your opinion, let's say an advisor does offer to do it, and they do offer to do enrollment meetings, and the plan sponsor says, hey, Chuck, you know what? That's great, but we just don't have time for that. I know you've had that said to you in your 28-year tenure, Mary, we don't have time, Mary, we don't need it. How should the advisor react to that? And on top of that, how should they react to that if they get it when it comes in terms of the benchmarking of the plan?
as far as working with the sponsors, and the sponsor is not wanting to engage? Is that what your question is more about?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to call the plan sponsor. Hey, Mary, it's been 3 years. You know, we haven't taken a formal look at how the plan stacks up with different covered service providers. So that question, what if the plan sponsor says no? What's the advisor's best tactic there? And then secondarily, what should an advisor do when the plan sponsor says, Chuck, you know what? We'd love to have you come in and do an enrollment meeting, but we just don't have time for it. Or the plan sponsor flat out says, yeah, we're just not going to be doing any of that. How do you think the advisor should document that or to keep records of that? Because this all sort of lumps into that responsibility that you have when you're attached to a retirement plan.
Oh, absolutely agree. Usually when I'm working with a client to engage them on the initial phases before I've even contracted them, I want them to understand their responsibilities to the plan right out of the gate. So we want to talk about benchmarking, why it's important, how we'll implement that into the ongoing service model for their plan, as well as some sort of education. So it's important for you to be upfront with your client before you're onboarding them versus coming to them after the fact. Usually what happens is when you come to the client after the fact and you haven't addressed it or factored that into your original proposal with them, is the client will look at it and say, this is just going to cost me more money. So then at that stage, you're kind of in a precarious situation of trying to convince your client to engage a service that they think is going to cost them money that they don't want to spend. So again, it's always great to do this stuff on the front side. Now, while most advisors may not have already put that into place, it's probably a good idea to find some way to introduce that discussion with your existing client if you haven't done so already. Still look at it on about an every 3 year period of time where a plan should be benchmarked. I would also recommend employee education at least annually. And have those conversations with your clients and say, you know, there's a much bigger spotlight being shown on retirement plans these days, and it's really in your best interest to implement these types of procedures within your fiduciary basket of things that you're checking every day.
Well, thanks. So I think what I would like to get to is the plan sponsors. They're busy running their business. They're busy spinning a lot of plates, HR, payroll, property and casualty, health insurance benefits. Do they fully understand the importance of benchmarking their plans?
I would say no, they do not. Most clients think it's the same thing as the advisor thinks, which is set it and forget it. It's not broke, and I don't have employees in my office complaining about services. Why would I even bother looking at my plan? But what they don't realize is that with a lot of cost compression that's happening in the marketplace these days and more opportunities for different types of products within various providers, there may be an opportunity for them to evaluate their plan and save themselves some money. So while they may not want to spend the time, it's in their best interest to do so just to see if there's an opportunity for them to reduce the costs associated with their plan.
Mary, most plan sponsors are concerned about costs. So are advisors. But let me take the flip side, if you don't mind, for a second. What if one of the service providers has a service or a new widget or a new thing that can be added to improve the overall participant outcomes, the overall efficiency of the plan? How educated do you think most retirement plan advisors are on the subtleties of some of the service providers that are out there? Because technology and time usually change everything, whether we like it or not. So do you think it's difficult for advisors to stay up on all of the players, even a handful that they might be using, with all of the subtleties that they might be able to give to the advisor or to the plan sponsor or participants?
Absolutely. There are a lot of providers out there, record keepers, bundled services, unbundled services. There's a widget for just basically about every type of plan you could imagine. For you to actually sit down and have wholesaler meetings with each one of these providers and understand what their new widget is of the week, that can be a little daunting. It also takes up a lot of your valuable time of servicing your clients or bringing on new business. So what I've implemented basically is a solution whereby I have an annual review with each of the providers. I have a questionnaire I send out to them. They respond to it, and at that time I ask them to also provide me any additional information of any new products that have been implemented in the last year. And through that process, it allows me to stay on top of the various providers we may use. But again, it's a daunting task if you don't have some sort of simplified process in place to monitor each one of these providers.
So in essence, you're actually shortcutting the entire sort of modus operandi of our industry. You're being proactive as the advisor or as the plan consultant to head off those changes at the pass, meaning I'm going to send all of these providers, it's 100 of them maybe, so I get my answers back in the format that I like them. And secondarily, you are not taking up valuable client or advisor consulting facing time by having those folks parade in and out of your office and bring pens and tons of marketing material and the occasional box of golf balls, right?
Correct. Exactly. My time's better served working with my clients than wholesaler meetings usually.
Well, I think they can be informative, but I did a study about a year ago, a quick survey, and about 30% of those meetings came back as effective. So that could be for a number of reasons, but I would like to say that some of them can be, but when you're dealing with a large number of retirement plan clients and a large number of partners, it's very different than trying to sort through the target date funds or the best large cap growth fund. There's software for all of that. Keeping track of the vendors and their nuances is literally hand-to-hand combat. It's manual labor. So I think that might be something advisors at the bare minimum should take away from this. So let's get back to the benchmarking and my supposition that there's an opportunity there for advisors. I don't think a lot of plan sponsors understand it, as you've reinforced, the need and the requirement for doing it. I think one of their big fears is the amount of time that it takes. So is there a baseline that, you know, you could throw out there, depending on clients' needs, about how long does a proper benchmarking take?
For the advisor to actually do the benchmarking, it can take, you know, a couple hours, you know, depending on how detailed the plan sponsor needs that information to be. It could take longer. I just ran an RFP for a client and it involved 5 providers. I was on site interviewing them. By the time we were all said and done, it was a several month long process. But again, that's what I would see traditionally in the larger plan market. The smaller plan market, I don't know that they necessarily need so many bells and whistles. And you can get by simply with just asking the client to complete a quick questionnaire on what services are most important to them, and then getting some demographic information, and then just asking each of the providers to provide you a simple fee quote. And if as long as you know what each provider's wheelhouse is for dealing with your plan, you've kind of simplified your process and you've gotten quotes back. You can share those with the plan sponsor and have conversation that is truly based on actual numbers. That process, you know, wouldn't necessarily take as long. And that's where I feel like a lot of these smaller plans would really benefit from advisors just doing something that simplistic even.
Mary, I would agree. So my next question is, you know, we are in the environment of the gig economy, the side hustle, the outsourcing. When I'm speaking directly to the aspiring advisor, the advisor that has 10, 15 plans trying to grow, should they be doing all of this work in-house, or is there a meaningful benefit to having an outside firm or an outside type of provider take care of this for them?
I feel like they should focus on what they're best at. The industry is built on specialists. So find somebody who specializes in doing these types of reviews so that you're not spending hours, endless hours, trying to put something together and not really having a good process in place to get it done in a quick manner. So there are some firms that will do some outsourcing. I found it real challenging for, you know, an advisor to find an outsourced solution. I've kind of developed my own in-house and share that with other advisors to kind of help that and you know, allow that advisor to capitalize on my knowledge and experience with the various providers. So there's alternatives out there, but definitely they should focus on what they're good at and find a way to outsource it if they don't want to tackle this project.
So here's my supposition, and we've started talking about this a couple of months ago. I firmly believe that in the $500,000 to the $10 million space, there is a dramatic opportunity for advisors to use benchmarking not only as a marketing lever, but also as an additional line item for revenue. Being able to go in, market to, educate, benchmark a plan, and not have to worry about actually landing the plan. Do you think that's a viable strategy in today's market based on our previous discussions and the sort of questions I've hit you with today? Is that a viable means of doing business for advisors?
Yes, I think that there is a definite need out there in the industry for plan sponsors to understand their plans. And if you don't want to, you know, or don't feel like you're going to be able to generate recurring revenue on the advisory side, it's definitely an opportunity for you to charge a fee and walk away. It also, I think, gives you a chance to showcase your services to that sponsor who may end up becoming a client. So it leads you down the path of either clients or revenues or, you know, whatever goal you're trying to get to. But I think it's really important to have it done. Over the years that I've been doing sales and business development, I can honestly tell you almost every client I've brought on, and there have been a lot of them, I've done so by talking to the client about their existing plan and pointing out some inefficiencies that exist. And those clients really respect when you come to them with your knowledge and expertise and show them where they could do better.
So, Mary, here's a comment and then a question. A lot of the advisors that I speak to automatically harp on fees. And I tell them I know plenty of advisors that charge 30 basis points and are woefully overpaid. And I know other advisors that charge 30 basis points and are woefully underpaid. I think advisors are a little skeptical about benchmarking because they're afraid to spotlight the actual services. Should that be – so here's the question. Should that be an actual concern?
No. And here's what benchmarking does if it's done appropriately. And I think there's the way that I traditionally see benchmarking done within the advisor population and how they might want to reconsider doing that slightly different. One, clients, you know, may one not ever understand fully the expenses associated with their plan. They don't understand the hidden costs and things of that nature that are within the plan. So to, you know, enlighten them on that is a really positive thing and really can get you some added bonus miles with that plan sponsor. What I would say to you is this: the piece that's missing in benchmarking is the matching of the client to the actual provider that will meet their needs. And until an advisor takes benchmarking one step further and says, what is it that you need, and is your current provider offering that, or what other providers could actually provide you those services in a much more efficient or better manner for you, then come in with the benchmarking and show them, here's the additional services. Yes, they're going to cost you more, but these are the things that you said were important to you. I think until you have that conversation in conjunction with benchmarking, benchmarking isn't necessarily something that's going to totally win you the business right out of the gate.
Well, that's a nugget if I've ever heard one. So, Mary, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. You did very well for your first podcast, although I know that you've been interviewed before. If folks want to reach out to you and learn a little bit more about how you do things, how you work in conjunction with plan sponsors and advisors, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Email or call is totally fine. My email is mary@patchrps.com. And my phone is 563-599-2666.
That's Mary Patch, the managing partner for the Patch Retirement Plan Services Organization. Mary is an industry stalwart, a vast amount of knowledge. If you have a chance, reach out and connect with her on LinkedIn. Look her up. Shoot her an email. It will be well worth your time. So, Mary, thank you very much for being on the show, and I hope we can have you back soon.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it.